The first reading for this evening is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." The second gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
There are a couple of different places in our readings and in our hymns tonight that just drew me to one particular word, and that word was light. As I looked at Matthew in the end of verse 2, it said, "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And I just thought of the bright stars as you go along, and you can see some stars the idea of the North Star, that one still, I'm not a nautical person, and I'm not an astronomical person, so I don't get these things. How can that be such a fixed star that no matter what, it's always, ships would use it to sail by and this and that. I'm thinking, well, you got to be on one side of it or the other, don't you? Or if you're on the another, east, west, north, south, somehow it's got to be different, but... that I also debate the idea of why we can only see one side of the moon ever, too. So, these things are beyond me. Certainly the idea that there was a star that could be seen, and even in another area in the Scripture, we're told that star goes before them, as in that star is moving, a wandering star, quite a miracle is taking place. The reading from Luke talks about the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night, and then the glory of the Lord shone around these angels that appear on the scene. And I cannot imagine what it would look like to have the sky lit up with the glory of the Lord shining around angels, this multitude of angels that appeared. A little town of Bethlehem talks about, "Yet in thy dark streets shineth an everlasting light." The last hymn we're going to sing tonight, the first Noel, it says, and to the earth this shining star that was there gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. And so light just seems to be real prevalent in this, it becomes so as we go through Christmastide, and through Christmas you get into Epiphany. It's a season of light. That's what we talk about that time, because the wise men follow that star, and light is what it's all about. Jesus is that light of the world, we're told even. Anyone here afraid of the dark? Anyone willing to admit it? Yeah. If we were to shut off all the lights and let you feel your way down the hall to get out, be all right, not a problem. If you're the only one here now, let's see if it works out that way. Yeah. Maybe not so much. I don't know about you. I had a nightlight growing up, kept that nightlight. That nightlight stayed on for quite a long time, up until the point where something happened that I could see because of that nightlight, and I didn't want to see the things in the light anymore. I'd rather be in the dark. I'd share that personally at another time if you'd like. Some things you don't want to hear about. Light and darkness, this is a theme that runs continually throughout Scripture. It's very prominent in the Bible, the idea of light and darkness. And darkness is always the representative of evil versus the good of the light. The devil is the prince of darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. And then we as people, we dwell either in light or in darkness. Now, it's all kind of a matter of where you're standing in this life is what it comes down to. Either you're people of the light or you're people that dwell in the darkness. You can be out in the daylight but still be a people of darkness because you don't follow Christ. You don't live the life that God would desire and design for you. On the other hand, you could be in the dead of night and be a people of the light because of your faith and your relationship with Jesus. The light and the dark is not something we really are talking about there as being something the sun rising or the moon being up. It's the Spirit that is within us. Are we a people of the light? Are we a people of Christ? Are we a people who will follow this one that is the light of the world? I mean, we had wise men going an amazing distance over an amazing amount of time following a star to find the light of the world. And yet there are some people who won't go out of their way to get up on Sunday morning to go to church. Not a lot of light in those lives. The theme of light and darkness is there. The prophet Isaiah talks about the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and that light has dwelt in the land in the shadow of death, a light that shines upon them. We have that light shining upon us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, we're told, also by Isaiah. The glory of the Lord rises upon us, just like the glory of the Lord shone with the angels. The light comes, and wherever light comes, it pushes back the darkness. Light always wins. Always. If you have a flashlight that works, if you have a flashlight that works and you turn it on in the dark, it will be seen. No amount of darkness can cover even one flashlight. One candle burning. One candle can burn in complete darkness, and no matter what, the darkness cannot overcome the light. The light always dispels the darkness. Light always wins. Where there is light, there is life. Where there is light, there can be growth. Where there is light, there is warmth. Where there is light, there is heat. Where there is not light, there is not life. Plants cannot live in complete darkness all of their life. They have to have light. They have to have warmth. It may be a very small amount, granted, because we've got some that grow in some amazing places, but they have to have some amount of light. And that light always pushes back that darkness where it comes. And that light always wins. Some people, however, choose not to live in the light. Now, as Christians, we may wonder, how is that even possible that you could desire to not choose to be a child of God? But it's very prevalent in our world that there are people that choose to live in darkness. They reject the light of Christ. And we're reminded, even in God's Word, that there are people that love darkness rather than light. Matthew tells us, let your light shine before other people. That we're supposed to tell others about this light of the world. That light is supposed to be reflected through us into the world around us, to the people around us. Through our good works, through our giving glory to God, through our serving Him, that light shines. We give witness to His glory, His majesty, His power, we're told. And so many folks, though, are afraid to do that, afraid to witness, afraid to share. We let our fears show through and our weakness show through, but we don't let the light show through. Our sinfulness causes us to stumble and to fall and to fail to be the people of God that God calls us to be. We're not proud to pray in public, so we do it real quietly or unobtrusively. We want to make sure that we're not heard by others when we pray, or seen perhaps. That old story about the little girl who started to hold hands with her parents in the restaurant and wanted to pray, and the father said, "Shh, shh, we don't pray in restaurants." And she says, "What's the matter? Doesn't Jesus come to restaurants? Isn't God with us? Is there a time we should be ashamed to pray? I've stopped with people in the grocery aisle and prayed with them right there while others were walking around. We don't care. Pray. Pray wherever you are." But we're afraid to let others know about this faith that we hold. We're not proud enough, it seems, to talk about our faith. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about politics, which nowadays gets you in even more trouble, it seems. We'll talk about a bad haircut. But we won't talk about Jesus. And Jesus should be the most natural thing for us to talk about. Sharing the love of Christ that we have should be the simplest thing that we have. It should be so easy for us to speak about Jesus that we don't even hesitate to talk about Him. And yet, some folks are just reluctant to even talk about their faith. Or some folks are even reluctant to be around others who have a faith, because then we're going to have to get in that discussion even with another believer. What should be the simplest thing for us? Why do we make witnessing such a hard concept is what I wonder. Because let me tell you, the fact is we are all witnesses. The question is whether we're a good witness or a bad witness. You are a witness. There's no two ways about it, because a witness is simply someone who talks about what they've seen or they've experienced. So either we are talking about what we've seen and what we've experienced, or we're holding it back. We're a good witness or we're a bad witness. We tell people or we fail to. I mean, it's not a matter of training. It's not a matter of some program that you have to have. It's not a matter of having to be educated in a certain philosophy or process or project. You talk. It's what a witness does. They talk. We see it when we have the kids in the kids' programs, when they talk about Jesus and they share that Jesus loves them and Jesus loves you. And if the preschoolers can do it, then my goodness, certainly the adults should be able to do it. But for whatever reason, we get to this point in our life as we get older where we're a little more inhibited. We're not as sure about talking to others. And the reasons are ridiculous, because somebody may not like what we have to say. Somebody may judge us. So what? That's a fine thing then. If they don't like you because you're a Christian, then they're probably not the people that you need to be around. And if they reject you because you're a Christian, then I can guarantee you that they're not the people you need to be around, other than to witness to. But if you're not going to witness to them, then be somewhere else. Because we're a body of believers. And we build each other up. But we build each other up so that we can go out and talk about Christ to these other folks and bring them into the family, bring them into the fold, bring them into the body. I mean, the whole earth gives witness to God. The way things grow, the nature of things, all of nature screams that there is a greater being. And we know who it is. And we can talk about Him, because He's the light that shines in our lives. He's the light that gets us up to get going to worship Him. And He can be so much more than that because He's there to be the light daily for us. He can be the light that is in your life to get you up in the morning, and with your prayers and your thoughts and of Christ in your heart. And we have the morning prayer and evening prayer of Martin Luther. Those are even great things to use, as well as saying the Apostles' Creed, as he talks about doing in the Catechism. That's a great way to start your day, to end your day. We can take that light of Christ with us, not just on Sunday mornings, but on a Monday to work. Ooh, that would be something. To school, to wherever it is you have to go. That light of Christ can be with you to energize you, to excite you, to remind you that this day you have purpose. You have the opportunity to be the light of Christ out in the world. And there may be some days that you're not shining as bright as others, but just don't hide that light under a bushel, and I think we'll be all right. Is your gospel light still shining, or does it need to be relit? The world is in darkness, and you are its only hope. You're Christians called to be Christ in the world. He has laid that upon you as His children to be His representatives in the world, to take His light out, to let your light shine in the world so that they can follow Christ. Just as those magi followed that light in the sky, and it was wandering on ahead of them. We're going to be wandering in all kinds of different directions, which is good news, because the world has got a chance with the light going all over the city of Arlington, a little bit into Mansfield, some over into Grand Prairie, maybe even reaching up into Fort Worth. We'll let somebody else take care of Dallas. But there's plenty of churches over there that can bring light there. We're going to share that. But where we are, and that's the thing, it's not a matter of having to go somewhere to do this. It's a matter of being that light where you are, wherever you are, whenever you are, whoever you're with. We don't have to go on a great journey. There are times that we will have people that go to Belize, go to the Solomons, go to various places in the world, and even Dallas. But it's not necessary for you to share the light in all areas of the world. It's necessary for you to share the light where you are. The world needs that light to be shown to them so that they can follow it today. Be that light. Bring that light. And give the world the same hope that those angels shared with the shepherds. And the shepherds went and saw, and they went off and told everybody they saw. Be that light, that same light that led the Magi, that they went and saw that light. They worshiped that Christ. And I can guarantee you, it doesn't talk about their departure, but they had to be glorifying God after that, wherever they went. And now it's our turn to follow that light and to take that light and to be that light for a world that is in desperate need. And you cannot be overcome by that darkness, because that light of Christ will always win. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.